At a G20 finance meeting, the world's largest economies got a taste of what the Trump administration's America First agenda would look like. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin pushed for the G20 to abandon last year's pledge to, quote, avoid all forms of protectionism. Instead, Mnuchin pushed for more, quote, fair trade between Europe and the U.S., echoing President Donald Trump's rhetoric about bad trade deals and America's trade deficit.
A shock exit for Uber, the company's president Jeff Jones quitting on Sunday after just 6 months, adding to a list of problems that have hit the company hard in recent weeks, putting its future into question. Uber has been dogged by allegations of sexual harassment, stealing designs, and secret technology. And a video of CEO Travis Kalanick tearing into a driver who complained about pay hasn't done the company any favors.
The biggest meat company in the world is among those raided by the authorities in Brazil on suspicion of selling rotting flesh to unsuspecting buyers.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's March 20th, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day, another business week underway here. We'll have more coming up on Aging 2.0 in just a few seconds. A little bit later in the program, we'll be talking to PJ O'Rourke, the author of a new book about how the hell did this happen with regards to the new administration in Washington. Sort of a tongue-in-cheek look at that. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures, NASDAQ, S&P futures all pointing toward a weak open later this morning. Dow futures are off 20 points right now. S&P and NASDAQ futures are off about 5 points each. You heard there in the opening segment, the Uber number two has resigned abruptly amid all of the controversies going on at that company. The number two stepped down yesterday amid some of those controversies. Also today in Europe, the FTSE 100 has slipped as the pound hits a three-week high. European markets are generally mixed today. This will be a big day in Washington as James Comey, the head of the FBI, expected to be on Capitol Hill, expected also to rebut some of Trump's wiretap claims before a House committee. They will no doubt ask him questions about exactly what is happening with those investigations, if the FBI is involved in any and what their status are. We'll all be following that very closely as the day moves along here, and we continue to follow your money and the latest news. Well, it's called Aging 2.0. It's a startup competition here in Chicago. Aging 2.0, a global innovation network on a mission to accelerate innovation involving the lives of older adults. Tamara Jurgensen is with us today. She's the head of the startup here in Chicago. Tamara, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
Doing great, thank you. Thanks for getting up with us this morning. This is a big deal because we always think of innovation, it seems, for younger folks, but this is for the older set. How old are we talking about?
Well, seniors are technically 65 and up. This is innovation to improve the lives of the aging population, of which there's no shortage of challenges, of course.
And so what would some of those different innovations be that we've seen over the years come out of Aging 2.0?
Well, Aging 2.0's ecosystem is global and large, and it's been around for over 5 years. We've held over 300 of these such events and content events. The winners and the companies involved in our ecosystem range across a host of innovation platforms. We categorize it in four specific areas, platforms around innovations that improve mind health, mobility, independence, and care. So a great example would be last year's winner, which was Stack, a Canadian company that has a sensored lighting solution, and it enables more independence for aging in place. Through the information that's transmitted through the sensors, you can help facilitate and recognize any things that are off kilter, and it's just some preventative
Sort of some eyes and ears to help you keep track, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, because aging in place, I did a big piece on this a couple of years ago. Aging in place is where seniors decide to stay at home, right, and not go to a nursing home, and they want to live in their own homes, and they want to try to do that as best as possible. So aging in place covers all kinds of stuff regarding that.
Absolutely. Mobility is a big factor there. General health, chronic management condition, chronic condition management. There's a whole host, and over 90% of seniors want to age in place, as you can imagine.
And there are a lot of them. We're going to talk a little bit more about the demographics. And, Tamara, yeah. If you can hold on with us, we'll talk more about the competition as well in our next segment. Tamara Jurgensen is with us. She's the head of Aging 2.0, the startup competition in Chicago. We'll continue our conversation here on the Opening Bell. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, a couple of stocks of local interest we're watching. Sears Holdings Corporation up almost 1% this morning. On the other side of that, United Continental. It's off almost 1.5%. It's 520.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Following another winning week, investors will turn their attention to whether Washington will be able to deliver on promises to cut taxes, increase infrastructure spending, and boost the economy. Well, the ride's over for Uber's president, Jeff Jones. He's resigned from the San Francisco-based ride-hailing company just after 6 months on the job. Uber didn't give a reason for the resignation, but Jones told tech blog Recode that his values didn't align with the company's. IBM plans to hire 2,000 U.S. veterans over the next 4 years as part of an expansion plan. Many of the positions are new-collar jobs that don't necessarily require a four-year college degree and will fill needs in fast-growing areas like cloud computing, cybersecurity, network management, and digital design. And Chipotle has been under pressure from activist investor Bill Ackman to speed up its recovery following food safety scares that hurt business. Sales at Chipotle fell 20% last year despite free burrito giveaways, a temporary loyalty program, and work on improving its customer service. Todd Ant, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're talking about Aging 2.0 today. Tamara Jurgensen is with us, the head of Aging 2.0 Startup Competition in Chicago, which is happening tomorrow, I believe. Isn't it, Tamara?
That's correct. It's tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, the Hyatt Regency. We're fortuitous timing. The American Society of Aging National Convention is in town, also happening at the Hyatt. No coincidence. So we're expecting a great attendance, over 100 people. We have 7 amazing innovations that span from mechanical wheelchair technologies all the way through to virtual reality healthcare training, featuring many, many Chicago startups, of course.
Now, the way I imagine this, I haven't been to one yet, but I would really like to go. But this is sort of for if people are thinking of maybe TechCrunch's annual crunch competition that they do for startups. It's sort of it's an onstage competition, and it really is a competition among some of these different companies that are vying for these markets.
Absolutely, absolutely. They have 4 minutes to pitch, 2 minutes of questioning, but from the judging panel.
No.
And they're really fun.
Yeah. Tamara, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the demographics, but the groups that these folks would be pitching to is a group that seems growing every day. Talk to us about the baby boom generation, this group of 65 or older, and how fast it's growing.
Well, 10,000 boomers turn 65 every day and will continue to do so for the next 15 years. So that's pretty staggering. I think what's more staggering is that this isn't just a boomer-isolated blip. This is a huge population shift, and we're heading towards a world where greater than 50% of the world's population will be over 50. And right now, the 60-plus segment is rising at double the rate of any other segment. So I think, you know, a lot of people talk about boomer, 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 but this isn't just one hit. This is a permanent, for the foreseeable future, shift and trend, and the implications of that are massive, as you can imagine. I mean, all of the way we live, the way we think about life, career, work, the way urban planning has been designed was all thought through. All of our policies, everything was designed in a time with a very different demographic makeup.
Yeah, and it really is sort of, it's one of those head scratchers because it's not something that we didn't see coming. And it's a shame that we haven't planned for it better.
Absolutely.
So this is going to take a little bit of that. It's certainly not going to solve the whole problem. Can we talk about some of the startups at the event?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got 7 startups, and like I said, there's a big range of solutions. So we have two right out of our own Matter incubator over at the MART. Embodied Labs is a virtual reality healthcare training company started by Carrie Shaw. It's amazing. It's using the virtual reality goggles. You actually experience what your patient is experiencing. So I actually did one of these labs the other day, and I was transported into a 74-year-old man's body with macular degeneration and high-frequency hearing loss, and was experiencing a dinner table with his family, experienced a doctor's office and some cognitive testing. It was amazingly impactful. And you can imagine having our medical community have the ability to literally experience what their patients are experiencing.
Yeah, that would seem amazing. And not only do you get to experience it, but then you get to develop things that will help that person.
Yeah, and even just the manner in which you communicate. I mean, I literally found myself, as the doctor was administering a cognitive test, personally experiencing anxiety because I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can hardly see this. I mean, how am I going to do this?
We talked about this tidal wave of baby boomers. One of the big issues here is how will we care for all of them, not only just day-to-day health care, but if every one of the baby boomers decided to go into a nursing home, which obviously is not going to happen, but if they did, both of those things would swamp our economy, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. And not only decide to go into nursing home, just the caregiver conversation you opened in general, there aren't, with the way that we currently approach caregiving, there aren't enough caregivers. And the impact on people's work lives, I mean, there's already, by 2020, it's predicted there'll be over 120 million older Americans in need of care, and there'll be 45 million family caregivers, 5 million paid caregivers. That's up from 3 million today. I mean, this is 3 years away. And the impact that has on people's careers, the affordability, there's significant challenges with that, for sure.
And so do you think we'll see a lot of, some of them probably at your showcase, but I've seen others too, robotics. How big will robotics be in helping care for some of the older folks?
Robotics will definitely have a role. We see it today. I know Home Care Assistance is piloting Kubo, and there's a lot of that. I think being able to extend staff into homes, so telemedicine and telehealth. In fact, we have InView Care pitching at our event. It's an active remote care solution, which is essentially Live Home is piloting that, actually. And it's an iPad whereby the caregiver, the non-medical caregiver going into the home, can, you know, press a button and have access to a remote nurse. So I think those type of, we call them staff extenders, and the telehealth presence is going to be very, very impactful. So the technology can take all sorts of forms.
So, Tamara, how can more people find out what this is about and get more information? And is this open to the public tomorrow?
It absolutely is open to the public, and we'd love to have you and more come and get more knowledgeable about the fabulous innovations going on right here in our own city that, you know, really help address this critical challenge.
And you can
you can go to aging2.com, look under current events. It's at the Hyatt tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, on 151 East Upper Wacker Drive.
And there's links there to you can go to all of the different cities, not just Chicago,
exactly.
But this is happening all over the country.
Exactly. And we have lots of people from all over the country actually coming tomorrow. We've got Derek Anderson in from Palo Alto. He runs Startup Grind. This is a great stage for our Chicago-based companies, for sure.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out and being with us this morning here on the opening bell, and we'll look forward to seeing who the winners are.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Tamara Jurgensen is with Aging 2.0 in Chicago. That website, again, is aging2.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at aging20. This is the opening bell, 528. Let's head over to the newsroom. Vic Vaughn is standing by there. Good morning, Vic.
Hey, good morning, Steve. A Northside alderman waking up this morning to a break-in. Our report next.
This is the opening bell.
From ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, building a faster Wi-Fi experience. If you have a Wi-Fi device around you right now, somewhere on it you may see a logo that reads Wi-Fi certified, but you probably have no idea what that means. It means that device meets the requirements of the Wi-Fi Alliance. Kevin Robinson is a VP at the Alliance.
When a user goes out and buys Wi-Fi equipment, that equipment's going to work well together.
No matter what the brand, there are over 8 billion Wi-Fi devices in the world working right now. The Alliance, different companies coming together, is now working on faster Wi-Fi to keep up with the faster internet being delivered to our homes and offices.
There's also a new technology that is just now, you're starting seeing in the mainstream in 2017, which is Wi-Fi certified WiGig. And what it does, again, very high performance, but also responsive. It's a term you sometimes hear, low latency. But it really is about responsiveness.
Which is important in today's world in which everything is connected. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:39. The book is called How the Hell Did This Happen? Humorist P.J. O'Rourke's take on the Stranger Than Fiction 2016 presidential election. No one is safe from P.J.'s biting satire, not Republicans, Democrats, libertarians, the press, political pundits, or P.J. himself. And P.J. is with us this morning to talk a little bit about this book. P.J., first, welcome to the opening bell. Glad to have you with us. I guess the best place to start is by asking the question you did. How the hell did this happen?
Well, I think fundamentally we're facing a rebellion against the elites. And it's not just us. I mean, you can see it in the Brexit vote. You can see it in the rise of alternative parties, both on the left and right in Europe, you know, both the Greens and the Nationalists. You can even see it. Vladimir Putin harnesses a kind of populist anger at the elites, you know, because of all the corruption, the kleptomaniac incompetence that took over Russia after Perestroika. Xi Jinping in China, he's got this neo-Maoism going that you know, there's corruption. It's like all the tea in China level of corruption in China among the elites, and the ordinary people are ticked off.
You know, and I guess it depends on the news you look at, but this whole idea that Mr. Trump wanted to drain the swamp, I mean, look at all the people that are on his cabinet, the things that are happening in Washington. I mean, you almost have to laugh about it because is it draining the swamp in your eyes?
Well, it's draining the swamp of certain inbred political stuff, but I think it's trading swamps. People were hoping to trade up, get a better swamp. You know, one with pogo in it, you know, and amusing animals and so on, instead of what we had before. But really, I think, you know, when I was talking to people at Trump rallies, when I was covering particularly the primary election in New Hampshire, what I was hearing from were mainly it was small business people and skilled craftsmen, you know, electricians, plumbers, and so on, who are indeed small business people themselves. And it was regulatory stuff was one of the things that was really bugging them. One guy told me, he said, I can afford Obamacare for my employees. What I can't afford is this big stack of paper, all these forms to fill out and stuff that lands on my desk every time some genius down in Washington gets a bright idea. He said, I don't have a legal department. I don't have a human resources department. It's just me and my wife. And, you know, and I'm a mechanic. You know, I'm not a paperwork guy. And so, you know, I talked to some of these people, and there was one I really liked, and he had very good sense of humor, and he's at the Trump rally, and he's complaining about regulation, state, local, federal regulation for the gas tanks at his gas. He owned a couple of gas stations, and so I'm kind of laughing with him, and I said, "Oh, say, so electing a maniac fixes this how?" And he laughed. He broke up. He said, I don't know. But we got to shake things up down there somehow. You know, so there was a lot of that.
Yeah, and these are good people. These are, you know, kind of the salt of the earth folks who are counting.
Absolutely.
They're counting on the Trump administration to follow through with these promises. I mean, that's not going to be a laughing matter if he can't do it, is it?
No, it's not. And some of the promises are very silly. You know, I mean, wall, Mexico, you know, it's a boon to the Mexican ladder industry if you're looking for a place to invest your money. But the and I don't know what this is going on with the Republican repeal and replace Obamacare thing. They seem to have come up with something even more complicated and actually more expensive that gives benefits to fewer people. Okay. I mean, my fundamental objection to Obamacare was its complexity. I thought we got a fairly simple problem here. We don't want anybody beggared by their medical bills. We don't want anybody to lose the house. The boat, maybe, but not the house, okay? And there had to be a simpler way to address this, and the Republicans have sure avoided finding it.
Have you sort of made up your mind, or is it too early to gauge how President Trump is doing right now, and do we have to give him more time?
Well, we don't have much choice except to give him more time. And yes, it is in some ways hard to figure what this is going to be like, because so far all the crises in the Trump administration have been self-administered. You know, it's been like there's an ATF agents on the bomb squad. I have a phrase for when somebody blows themselves up trying to make a bomb. They call it a self-criticizing exercise. And so far, the Trump administration has been a self-criticizing exercise. Now, what happens when, and I don't say if, I say when, a real crisis from the outside that's not generated from within happens? It happens to every president. No president can avoid this. What is their reaction going to be like then? I mean, we won't have their full measure until we see that. Nobody wants to wish for a crisis. Certainly, but not until we have some kind of crisis will we really know who we've got here.
Yeah, and from a Wall Street perspective, it's certainly the opposite of that right now. I mean, people in Wall Street, investors are very happy with how things are going from a business standpoint, aren't they?
Well, they seem to be. You know, I mean, if the stock market itself is any indicator, although the stock prices have ceased to be as perfect a barometer of economic health. This has been true, I think, at least since the dot-com bubble. So, you know, you might want to look at some more fundamental things. But, I mean, the stock market might be up anyway. The unemployment is going way down. Inflation is starting to tick up a little bit. We're in a fairly economic. So we'll see what the stock market does if Trump does what he promises to do with trade barriers.
Yeah, in the answer to the question of how the hell did this happen is maybe a new way of doing things the next time we elect somebody. I thought it was funny how you don't even talk about changing the Electoral College or any of that. You have a better idea for keeping this from happening.
I have a couple of them. First one is we just gather all the presidential candidates together, preferably someplace where they serve beer. And we ask just one question of ourselves as voters. Which one of these people would you want to go on a road trip with?
Do you think people would have changed their vote if they had to do that with
Actually, I think we probably would have gotten the same results, because I tell you, Hillary sure can yak, and that would probably get on your nerves after a while. And she'd probably want to stop for dinner at all those dumpy little diners where she kept showing up during the campaign. So, instead of the steakhouses that Trump prefers. On the other hand, spending time up close and personal with Trump, I wonder what that would be like. I mean, how long before you give in to the temptation to drive a Titleist into the back of his head while he's standing up on the green, you know, nudging the ball with his foot to give us an alternative fact about how close it is to the hole?
Yeah, but you know, in the end, I think what's great about your book and great about you is that you kind of have to laugh at some of this stuff, and you've been successful in that.
Well, thank you. I try. I do my best. Certainly, there's plenty of folly on every side. I myself personally am kind of a conservative libertarian, probably more libertarian than conservative, but I try not to let that get in the way. I was probably a little soft on Rand Paul in the book, but you know. As for my libertarian heart.
PJ, thank you very much for your time. Great book.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
PJ O'Rourke is the author of How the Hell Did This Happen? He's also contributing editor at the Weekly Standard and also H.L. Mencken Research Fellow at the Cato Institute. And his book is available now. How the Hell Did This Happen? 5:47 here on the opening bell on this Monday edition. Time to check traffic again. Mary Vandeveld standing by with that. Good morning, Mary.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:52 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures off about 19 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures off about 5 each. Looks like it might be a weak opening on Wall Street later this morning. Gold and silver are up this morning. Crude oil is trading down almost 1.5% at 48.08 a barrel. A quick look at Europe again. All of the indices there are lower. The FTSE, the DAX, the CAC, all about 0.5% lower. Asia generally mixed this morning. Let's get a look at some other news now. Since you went to bed last night or since the weekend happened, an appeals court has refused to stop the imminent flow of oil through the Dakota Access Pipeline. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit on Saturday denied a request from the Standing Rock and Cheyenne River Sioux tribes for an emergency order that means the pipeline to move North Dakota oil right here to Illinois could be operating as early as today. Again, the president of Uber, Jeff Jones, is out. He resigned over the weekend amid a brief statement that wished him the best. Jones' departure comes days after Uber CEO Travis Kalanick said the company will hire a chief operating officer who can help write its next chapter. Wouldn't it be amazing if this amazing startup Uber goes under because of management problems, but it's certainly having its share of them in recent weeks. Also today, China's trading partners are bringing the top UN food standards official to Beijing in a last-ditch attempt to persuade regulators to scale back plans to require intensive inspections of food imports that Washington and Europe say could disrupt billions of dollars in commerce. The rule could inflame tensions with the administration of Donald Trump, who has promised to raise tariffs on imports from China and the European Union. Some other news today, healthcare, selling healthcare in the South. President Trump travels tonight to Kentucky, a state that's emerging as a battleground in the effort to repeal Obamacare and replace it. ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan is in Louisville.
President Trump is urging support of his plan to do away with the Affordable Care Act, but even some of Trump's fellow Republicans don't like the new blueprint, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky among them.
This bill is riddled from top to bottom with problems.
9 days ago, Vice President Mike Pence was here to appeal for support of the proposal. This evening, President Trump will pick up where Pence left off. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Louisville.
Over the years, Sesame Street has tried to make everyone feel accepted. Now there's a new example of that. ABC News correspondent Dave Schreiber with that.
A new Muppet with blazing red hair and bright green eyes will represent the full range of children on the autism spectrum.
Hi, Julia. You seem excited. What's going on?
Play, play, play.
The character Julia will make her Sesame Street television debut in April on HBO and PBS. Developing Julia and all the other components of her storyline required years of consultation with organizations, experts, and families within the autism community. Dave Schreiber, ABC News,
now,
New York.
Now the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Monday, March 20th, 2017. No official government reports today, but the U.S. Census Bureau will release 2016 population estimates for counties, metropolitan and micropolitan areas, and Puerto Rico. Forbes announces its World Billionaires list of world's richest people today. The 2016 list was headed by Bill Gates, followed by Amancio Ortega and Warren Buffett. We'll see if they make the list this year. Probably they will. The Senate Judiciary Committee opens the nomination hearing to consider Neil Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court today. Election tampering in Russia will come up as the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence holds its first public hearing on allegations of Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. CIA director will be there, but it will be the FBI director, James Comey, whose testimony starts off the day. Also today, it's Arts Advocacy Day, which arts advocates from across the nation networking, learning how to make the case for arts and education to members of Congress. Also, International Day of Happiness, global digital campaign encouraging people to support United Nations humanitarian efforts. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Monday, March 20th, the first day of spring, 2017. That's the opening bell. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning right here on 720 WGN and the Steve Cochran Show coming up next. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of the opening bell. Until then, I'm Steve Krasanich. Have a great day.